Track 7. London Landmarks. The landmark this month is described by actor David Harewood. David's parents came from Barbados as part of the Windrush generation. His great-great-grandfather was a slave, so it's particularly appropriate that David's choice of landmark is the Buxton Memorial Fountain, erected to mark the achievements of the anti-slavery movement. Here he is.
Hello, I'm David Harewood. I'm an actor. You may have seen me on stage at the National playing such parts as Othello or Hotspur, or in Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials. Likewise on television, you may have seen me in Homeland, The Vice, or Robin Hood. I'm here today to introduce the Buxton Memorial Fountain in Victoria Tower Gardens. Although the landmark I've chosen is right in the heart of London, it seems hidden away, and lots of people don't even know it's there. Between Lambeth and Westminster Bridge, in the shadow of the Houses of Parliament, there's a beautiful, chapel-like monument. It's the Buxton Memorial Fountain, built to commemorate the emancipation of the slaves in 1834. I first came across this monument 5 years ago, during the 200th anniversary of the 1807 Abolition Act. At the time, there were lots of articles about whether companies should own their links to slavery. Some did, and some didn't. The memorial kept being mentioned, so as I was cycling past, I stopped to take a look. The setting is stunning. Just 10 meters from the tree-lined bank of the Thames, in the middle of Victoria Tower Gardens. The monument is made up of an octagonal stone base, with 8 Gothic arches sitting on top, one on each side. There are pillars in between, and ornate carving above. The monument finishes with a tall, spire-like roof. The whole thing is about 5 times my height, maybe about 30 feet. You can go inside. 4 of the 8 arches are entranceways. You climb 2 steps to get to the fountain at the center, and inside it's tall enough to stand at full height. Despite the rumble of traffic along Mill Bank, there's a sense of peace and seclusion. The monument's built from lots of different materials. Pink and grey granite, terracotta, limestone, and mosaic. The enamelled metalwork on the roof is a real surprise. It's painted bright orange, pink, and blue. Usually Gothic buildings are dark and imposing, but this one's dynamic and full of life. All the way around the base, you'll find limestone carved in small house-like shapes that come up to knee height. They stick out further than the roof, so the rain has smoothed and eroded them. The pillars, just above, are pink granite with red sandstone bases. Each pillar is made up of 4 slender pillars joined together. They're about 1 meter high, carved with delicate leaves at the top. Sitting just on top of them, there's an upside-down V carved in light grey stone. It frames the upper section of the arch. Just where the V's begin, there are bizarre carved creatures. Their heads stick out at us, roaring dragons, lions with powerful claws, and lizards with mismatching crustacean bodies. Another surprising part of the monument is the mosaic. Above each arch, there's a carved circle with mosaic patterns inside. Their tiny tiles are grey, blue, green, and gold. Next to the circles, there are mosaic pictures, again of animals. A heron, a giant fish, a lizard clambering from the water while a bull drinks behind, and also a man holding a fishing net straining with fish. And above that is the beautiful roof. It's a riot of colour. A big contrast to the grey and muted pink underneath it. The spire is nearly as tall as the arches. There are 8 curved metal ridges going up it, painted bright orange. But between the ridges there are metal sheets, painted in the pattern of roof tiles, in mint green, pastel blue, and pink. It reminds me of Islamic or Moorish art, but instead of angular shapes, it uses soft curves. Near the bottom, there are simple, royal blue flowers with five round petals. Orange wrought iron leaves shoot out from the ridges, making their way up to a cross at the peak. When I go inside, I'm surprised by how secluded it feels. There's a central grey granite pillar that sparkles in the light. Around it there are four round pink basins, at about thigh height. This was once a public drinking fountain, but it hasn't been used as a fountain for years. Water spouted from the mouths of roaring terracotta lions, which are still here, just above the basins. Above us, raised lines are carved in the stone, like the roof of a Gothic vault. These lines fan out from the tops of the pillars, and where they meet, there are bosses, circular stones carved with flowers. Back outside, you'll find carved plaques embedded under the arches, one facing Millbank, the other the Thames. The stone facing the Thames is from 1989, marking 150 years of the Anti-Slavery Society. The plaque facing Millbank is the original commemoration. It says, "Erected in 1838 by Charles Buxton MP, in commemoration of the emancipation of the slaves, 1834, and in memory of his father, Sir T. Fowell Buxton, and those associated with him, Wilberforce, Clarkson, McCulkey, Brougham, Dr. Lushingham, and others. Thomas Buxton took over as leader of the abolitionist movement when Wilberforce retired in 1825. He was also one of the founders of the Anti-Slavery Society. For me, this monument marks the crucial moment in history when the force of the evidence against the slave trade outweighed the business aspect, when Parliament and the public realized the horrors that the slave trade involved and had to acknowledge that slaves were people, not property. My name is a testament to my own family connection to slavery. My great-great-great-grandfather was born a slave on the Earl of Harewood's land in Barbados. After the Emancipation Proclamation, once enslaved people were given the names of their former owners to try to stop the trade in slaves, they were given an identity. This chapel-like memorial is a place to reflect, not just on the abolitionists, but also on the thousands of traded people who are not named here.
Thank you, David. That's amazing. I must have walked past the fountain many times and never noticed it.